The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
So what I want to do is dress in camouflage clothing. I want to paint my face in camouflage and hide in the bushes by the mailbox. And when someone comes to steal my packages or the packages of my neighbors, because I feel like I'm really doing a neighborhood service, like a neighborhood watch, I'm going to jump out and I'm going to detain this person until the police arrive.
We were talking about the baseball thing. It looks like a 60-game schedule. The Astros' record after 60 games last year was 40-20, which pretty much was what it wound up being at the end of the season. Is that a long enough season for you? Because you were talking, you were doing the dreaded asterisk talk the other day.
I think it has to be over half the season. The playoff model has to be the normal playoff model. You can't have some hokey 12-team, you know, make the playoff model where just to try to up revenue. So that those are the requirements.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A-J is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. And still no Twitch, I guess, we're working on that camera, but you would only be seeing A-J in there, so why would you want to watch Twitch if it's not me?
What's the big deal?
Some responses to the gym of the day. Working Rob says, easy, bro. Tuck your pants legs into your booster socks. Drop the bottles down each leg. Simple. I don't think we can call you Working Rob if you know how to steal wine. I think that makes you AJ's thief.
Yeah, maybe you are.
And a lot of people saying you could easily become the male Karen.
Maybe. Listen, Karen gets irrationally upset over nothing. I'm getting my stuff stolen. I feel like that's not a Karen move.
Well, I don't know. It's your eyelashes and your backpack for a dog. Let's
those are amongst the items. I mean, I've had other stuff taken as well, but those are just the items that were funny for the telling of the story.
But if somebody stole, say, beer that was being mailed to you,
Would that be funny? I didn't think so.
No. Well, it'd be funny.
But I would never talk about that because the truth is I think it's illegal to ship beer through the U.S. Postal Service, so I would never do that.
Okay. Yeah. It's illegal to bring gummies back from other places, too. Never do that either.
Would never, ever, ever do that. Edibles of any kind. Or actually, none of that stuff. You're talking about drugs.
Oh, boy. It's a terrible thing, AJ.
Yep.
Now I know if I ever want to steal $700 worth of wine, that's the way to do it. Probably not going to happen. I don't like wine enough. So, I don't know if you saw this, but our guy Boris Johnson's in the news again.
What's he in for?
He is urging parents to send children to school. And says it is safe.
I agree with that. Send the kids to school.
I'm pretty sure by now you guys have to be sick of the kids being around all the time.
It's getting old. The summer's too long.
But it's funny because you talk about a guy who's flipped back and forth on this. He was like, oh, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. Then he got it and it was really serious. And then it became, this is really, really serious. Now he's back. Okay, let's get the kids back. So today was the day of the OJ police chase. Where were y'all when this happened? Is it really?
Yeah, today's
today,
the
anniversary of that.
Today's the day.
Oh, I guess
game five of the NBA Finals. I was at our. At our house on the our cabin on the Frio River, not our cabin, but like the cabin that we were renting on the Frio, and we were all gathered around the TV watching the Rockets and the Knicks.
I think I was in a strip club called the Gold Cup that used to be near the near the racetrack, and yeah, I had it was if you had a really good day at the track. You'd go spread a little money around there. And I was off that day. And I left the Chronicle for like a year. That first title, I wasn't there. And I was basically just making money betting on the horses because I'd started a business that failed miserably. But that was one of the places I would go to. I don't think it's there anymore.
I would if it is still there, it's not in a part of town where I'd feel great about going to a strip club, I'll be honest.
Well, it was nice.
I know, I mean, but I'm just there was a time when that area of town was considered a really nice area.
Yeah, I think you'd probably get shot there now. That's probably I don't know that I've been to a I take that back. I was trying to figure out the other day the last time I'd been to an actual strip club. And I'm going to say it's
Tuesday.
Been about 13 years. No, it's
13 years. Look at you.
Yeah, it was. Well, it was. But right after my last divorce, there was when I moved into my apartment, there was one that wasn't too far away, and I went there a couple times, and then I just kind of decided, yeah, this ain't for me.
Mine hasn't been quite that long, but it was when I lived in Austin, and I used to do my show at a strip club, and I used to have live appearances at strip clubs, which was really the best. Like, I get paid to go sit at the strip club and, like, do call-ins to the station and say, hey, come out and see me at Joy of Austin. And people would come out, or come out and see me at the Yellow Rose. I'll hook you up with, you know, we've got free dance certificates. I mean, what a life I was living.
Yeah, hey, I may or may not have been to the Yellow Rose at some point in my trips to Austin back in the day.
Hey, Fred, Alan is on the phone. He wants to talk about gambling laws. That seems like it's up your alley. So let's talk to Alan. Hello, Alan. Sports to you today.
Yeah, Rona. Hey, the Gold Cup and drinking a hoppadillo. But so why is it that soccer, you know, you got the gambling companies posted right on their chest, and then over here in America, you know, Pete Rose can't even get in the Hall of Fame because he's a gambler. I guess I'm wondering what are the odds? Where did the odds come from and the history of that all?
Well, I mean, Pete Rose isn't in trouble for necessarily gambling. He's in trouble for gambling on games that he played and managed in. So that's a little bit different. And I would imagine even the Euros, those progressive Euros, would be upset if the soccer players were gambling on the games that they were playing in.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
I was just saying, do they do that to, like, have it above board instead of below the table type thing?
I think gambling is just becoming normalized more in sports than it was before. I mean, I think people these leagues realize that, I mean, the amount of people who watch their games just for the love of the game isn't enough to sustain them. There's a lot of people who watch games, and the NFL figured it out, I think. And you know, think about what the explosion in popularity that the NFL had when fantasy football really like became a big thing, and when daily fantasy became a big thing, when sports betting started to get legalized. These are all things that grew the base of the NFL. So I think that, I mean, obviously they want to keep it all above board, but sports leagues are starting to embrace the fact that people bet on their sports because that's what gets people to watch.
Well, American sports leagues are starting to come around.
Yes.
Europe has been ahead of us on this forever. And you know, there's Ladbrokes. There used to be one on every block where you could go in and bet on anything. And yeah, you know, they realize that people are going to bet on the games. And when we were at Wembley, they had a betting window there that you can bet on that you couldn't on the NFL because you know they've resisted this forever. But it is finally here becoming acceptable. And I think what I was going to say about Pete Rose, I think he set it back a long way because it became so taboo to even discuss gambling. that, you know, because, oh, this is so bad what he did, that the sports leagues ran from it, even though all along it's been that way in Europe, in some places. And frankly, yeah, I'm old enough that I remember when I was a scumbag for playing poker before Moneymaker hit. It was like there was some taboo to it, that there's just something wrong with you. You're some kind of a sleaze. It's, oh, you're in these dark poker rooms. And it was never like that. It really wasn't. It was like it is now. Yeah, it's a social game. It takes some skill. But yeah, we were considered scumbags for a long time because I first started playing seriously in 1994, and I've mentioned this, I think, is that there was a game in one of the suites at Sam Houston, and you know it was 7-card stud, which one of these days, if we ever end the Rona, I'll have people over and we'll have a 7-card stud game just for old time's sake. But it was, when you'd mention that to somebody, it was like, hey, it's okay to bet on horses, but, well, you're playing poker? That's, you know, that's low. And sports betting was that forever. And I think guys like RJ and people like that have helped make it much more mainstream and much better, because it's just... But there has been a stigma attached to it, which I think is totally unfair. But, you know, I've been involved with it my whole life. So, of course, I object to there being a stigma. But it's coming around in the U.S. finally, and it should. And I think there will come a day when you have Jersey. It's like the whole Jersey sponsorship thing. That's just now getting started over here.
Pretty new.
Yeah, and those guys have been doing it forever. So... somebody says, I was on a continental flight to LAX. They were showing the Rockets game on the plane, and suddenly it cut to a white Bronco. We landed and watched the rest at an airport bar. Yeah, that's, and of course, Rocket fan thinks that the Rockets got no respect because they got cut into because of the Bronco chase. It's like, that was kind of big news at the time. But yeah, I think it's just a matter of society becoming more accepting. And people realizing you can make money off of it. You know, Roger Goodell didn't suddenly have a change of heart. He saw how much money they were making with DraftKings and things like that.
Said, oh, we need to get some of that.
And, oh, it's going to be legal? Okay, well, if we're going to legalize it in New Jersey, let's make sure that we have a betting window at the Giants and Jets stadium so that we can collect that money. And they're trying to get all of it now, and all these other people have already been ahead of them. And say, oh, well, we should get a cut of everything. Well, no, you shouldn't. But if you've been smart and gotten ahead of it and already been set up, guess what? You would have. All right. Was that degenerate? I don't know if that was degenerate enough for our texter. just that, I mean, it's gambling, right?
That's what he's looking for, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you didn't have a rant.
You had a rant.
Was that a rant, or was that more
like a tame rant? But it was kind of a rant.
Okay, because I don't know that I rant that often.
But then I don't. You kind of do.
Really?
I mean, you rant more than I do, I think.
Oh, I don't think that's
you get
even
worked up.
I don't think that's
you call
even
people
remotely
dickweeds.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You spent the entire show yesterday worked up about one thing or another. I'd be careful there, Mr. Pot. I'll tell you what, I do get worked up over in a good way that I get excited about, and that's my man Dr. Linville, because it made a huge difference in my life to be able to have my own hair again. And I've mentioned before, I looked at all kinds of options. We had some potential advertisers that we talked to, and it was all stuff that just didn't feel right. And I met with Dr. Linville, and after 5 minutes, I was sold. Because what he does is he takes the hair that's already on your head, and even if you're bald, there's always still follicles on the back of your head. He'll take those, and then he'll put them to where your hair is not. It's that simple. It's your own hair. It's a neograft procedure. It's not somebody else's hair. It's not hair plugs. It's your own hair, and it's just moved to a different place. And the cool thing is, you get it done, you're back at work the next day. And if right now, if you're still working from home and before you want to see everybody again, this is a perfect time to get it done. And he's back up and running and he's busy. You go to 975hair.com, set up your consultation. You can do a virtual consultation still. He'll do it. And you know what? He had it done himself, and his hair looks fantastic. You can do the same thing. It's that simple. 975hair.com.
About my life and every single chain and my diamond rings. The way you walk and the way you talk, and it's all because of me.
This is the Blitz.
The Blitz
on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Happy What Are the Odds Wednesday. Hope you're having a good one. And just rolling through another show that's disappearing awful fast here. Hoffman, we're getting you home in one piece. Hoffman, do you have anything you wanted to get to? Because other than... you know, giving away your plan to catch the bad guy. Who
I know. I basically told my plan was the first hour of the show, and now you're like, oh, do I? I mean,
oh, man.
Let me see if I had any other pressing stories. There's nothing really like that I was like, oh, I've got to get to. I had a couple stories that I was like, well, if we've got time today, we can get to. But it's a slow news day, as they would say. And, I mean, I guess we could talk about baseball and the likelihood that baseball's coming back, but it doesn't feel like... It doesn't feel like we should until we know something. Oh, I've got a story that you're going to love.
Yeah.
Did you see the guy who got on the flight and said he wasn't going to wear a mask?
No, I didn't see this.
Yeah. I think he was going from Dallas to Tulsa. And basically said, I'm not wearing a mask, and it's not a federal law. And they said that you've got to wear the mask. Please respect those who cannot wear a mask. When I pointed out this wasn't a law, I was removed from the plane. This is Brandon Straka.
Oh, is he looking for sympathy here?
I guess. I don't know. I don't feel bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's if a business tells you to wear one.
Yeah, like, oh, well, yes.
Same ones that tell you to wear a shirt. I'm pretty sure if I took my shirt off on the plane, well, no one would come near me, but if they did, they would tell me to put the damn shirt back on.
Right. Please.
So, yeah.
For the love of God, put your shirt
back on. Sorry, I just, you know, if that's what you want to, of course, maybe he was just trying to get out of going to Tulsa, let's be honest. I mean,
that's possible.
Tulsa is one of the few steps down from Dallas, but it's a step down. So, you know, hey, that's a... Did it say what airline it was?
American.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they're one of the ones that's not doing alcohol unless it's first class. So
yeah,
I won't be flying those guys unless it's first class. I'm sure. Honestly, by the time we can fly again, I assume that the beer will be back, or at least by the time I'm going to be willing to fly.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why, because I don't really understand how that's safer from a COVID standpoint to not have alcohol. Why is that any, it's now, I mean, can I still have a Sprite? Is that somehow?
Well, a lot of what they're doing is they're like, if you're in coach, they're giving you like a sealed bag that has water in it and stuff like that.
Okay.
Which, well, I mean, got to touch a sealed bag, right?
Yeah. I mean, aren't they, so you're telling me let's say I order a Sprite, are they going to hand me a can of Sprite and a glass of ice, or is it going to be a glass of ice in a bag? What's the procedure?
I do not know.
Because they're not going to stop serving drinks on flights, period. Like, people are still going to need a beverage.
Yeah, I would hope not. Now, according to this, like, Delta's still serving first class, which...
And that's the other thing. Like, so you can serve your alcohol to first class. The peasants don't get it because we don't want them getting the Rona. That makes me seem like kind of BS, because your first class guys, they're okay getting the Rona if that's really the reason why this is happening.
Yeah, I don't understand what
that. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't get it. But my hope is, and the only time I can't tell you that. Well, I flew American to Chicago once when the wife was up there, but
for the most part, I don't fly either one of those except for Delta when we go to Saskatchewan, and we always upgrade, so I assume I'll be able to get my alcohol. 815 said, flew 3 weeks ago for business. I was given a bottle of water and a bag of pretzels. I wasn't asked what I wanted to drink. So maybe you don't get Sprites.
Why is water safe but Sprite isn't? I don't get it. I don't get it. Hey, let's take a call, Fred. Let's talk to James. Hello, James. Sports to you today.
Sports to you, gentlemen. How you doing?
We're doing sports.
Outstanding. Hey, I got a quick question kind of off the top of here. I've started hearing about the Astros, going back to the cheating scandal, and the Yankees have gotten thrown into this. Last time I'm seeing the appeals from the Yankees to keep the letter sealed, things like that. What are you guys hearing about it? What do y'all know about it?
I, from what I hear, and you know, I would listen to the show after ours, Late Hits, because I'm sure Patrick has some sort of insight that I don't have when it comes to this stuff. But from what I understand, there was supposed to be a letter released on Friday, but now the Major League Baseball and the Yankees have teamed up, which doesn't look shady at all, to file an injunction to basically delay this release or try to stop it from happening. But I don't believe it's going to matter. I don't believe there's going to be no punishment. And really, Astros fan is really excited about this letter for some reason. But I think it's mostly just for the reason because they can throw it back at Yankees fans who have been giving them grief the whole time, which I said all along was really stupid. And it was really stupid for Astros fans to get all defensive about it and pretend like, you know, like it was like every team doesn't cheat. The worst was when Astros fan was not willing to accept that they cheated. And it finally seemed like they came around that they cheated, and then they had to take a bunch of grief from Red Sox and Yankee and Dodger fan. And now Red Sox fan, they cheated. Now it looks like Yankees fans cheated. Trust me, I've got news for you. The Dodgers cheated. This is why there never should have been any sort of being defensive about it in the first place, because every team does it. They all do it in different ways, and the Astros did it in a particularly easy to mock way, but they all do it. They all do it. So, yeah, I don't know what's going to come of it. I don't have the answers to that, but I'm curious to see what happens. I'm curious to see it. I think the biggest thing that could come of it is Rob Manfred could get in trouble for trying to sweep things under the rug, and he may end up losing his gig over this thing.
He's not losing his gig. I mean, the commissioner has to be the most untouchable position in all of sports. These guys, they're like kings. They do it until they're too old. None of them ever get fired. When was the last time they fired a commissioner? I mean, you got to go way back to what, Faye Vincent days. And you know, I don't even remember what happened there with all of that, but he's there forever. And yeah, he probably covered it up, but if he makes the owner's money, that's all they care about. Roger Goodell has somehow survived all the crap he's gone through for the last few years. He's not going. None of them are going anywhere. You can't kill them.
Maybe not.
They just stay until they're too old.
Well, I think they would fire him if, because of this whole dispute over the season, they end up losing money. That compounded with covering for the Yankees, I think that might give them enough reason. But as long as he's making them money, they don't care.
No, but they're going to... Everybody's going to lose money on this, and that's not his fault. It's like the people trying to blame Trump for everything that's going wrong. Whoever was in office was going to be in an impossible situation.
Yep.
And there are teams that don't want to play because they'll lose less money. And, you know, those guys, maybe they'll get mad, but they're not a majority. So now if he covered it up, you think other owners are going to say, "Oh, you covered up the Yankees, one of our biggest money makers"?
Well, I think he tried to cover. I mean, I think he tried to cover for the Astros too. And it wasn't until Mike Fiers came out and basically, you know, pulled the cat out of the bag publicly. It seemed like maybe Rob Manfred, he wasn't keen on punishing the Astros either. He didn't want anybody to hear about any of this stuff.
No,
but then
of course not.
Mike Fiers kind of screwed him and said, "Listen, buddy, you're not going to do it. I'm going to do it."
And then he had to do something, but. And then there were people that were pissed off that the punishment wasn't enough. But in no way does this exonerate the Astros. And I know that Astros fan wants to think that. It's like, oh, look, they did it too. But it's not going to exonerate the team. They cheated. They got caught. They got punished. And why that became a national story is beyond me. 713 said, just flew American first class. No drinks. Southwest Damn. Gives you a canned water with a straw.
Well, there you go.
There is no reason to fly first class for me unless there's alcohol. That's part of the appeal for me. But, all right, let's take a quick break. Please don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Trying to find some kind of strength. Get back on my feet, keep me grounded. It's been 90 days since I had some sleep. Now my dreams got me surrounded.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. So you were talking yesterday about the hotels that Disney had set up for the yes. NBA players. Did you see what else they're doing for them?
I did not.
Well, they plan to have numerous amenities available for players. They'll also have movies, video games, ping pong, pool, and lawn games. Comedians, musical acts, and DJs could also be invited to perform. And one extra perk, Disney will make movies available for players and their families, possibly including films that have not yet been released to the public, such as Marvel's Black Widow.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah.
And they're going to open up the park after everybody else has gone home for the day?
Are they?
Yeah.
Wow.
So they can ride the rides.
Well, must be nice. But, you know, they're probably, I mean, as much as the NBA is going to have to spend on these hotels, I'm pretty sure they're going to go out of their way to take care of them because it's not like they're getting filled up right now. But. And Randy says, aren't commissioners there to deflect the blame from the owners as part of their duties? I think that's why Roger Goodell still has his job and makes so much. Yeah, that's definitely part of it. They're the ones out there having to take all the criticism so that the rich white guys can sit back and complain about everything. And if you do a good job at that, you don't get fired. So.
Did you see... Doug Gottlieb's tweets from today after yesterday. Remember I said, I can't believe that this is what Oklahoma State players are asking for. Like it was just seemed like such a ridiculous thing that he tweeted out. It couldn't have been true. Well, he tweeted today and said, I'll read you his original tweet. He said, Oklahoma State player demands a change in policy. Earrings, do-rag, wave caps, ability to sag pants, hair, and music. These were demands all agreed to by Gundy. And I said, there's no way that they make this big deal of it, and that's what they really wanted to change. Well, it turns out Doug Gottlieb said, this is a bad tweet. It was simply relaying what I was told. It lacks feeling in the room and the real heart of what players feel and want. I was wrong to tweet and have bad grammar, these demands without context or substance. I was wrong, but none of that should be a part of the feelings of current black players at Oklahoma State or any other program. My tweet lacked understanding of where guys were coming from. It's important to give context, and I did not. I'll do better, which he won't. As for the current OSU football players, fellas, I'm an alum and a fan. Your voices will continue to be heard. I'm sure you have relayed something you heard in an incorrect manner before. Hope you can understand. Okay, Doug. Doug was clearly trying to... This is the thing about Doug Gottlieb, and this is where I kind of feel bad for him, because Doug is basically... He was really first to market with the Clay Travis act. He beat Clay Travis to that. But
yeah,
Clay Travis is the one who got all big time off of it. And Doug Gottlieb is still trying the same act, and it doesn't work as well for him for whatever reason. But I feel like Doug Gottlieb was doing the Clay Travis act before Clay Travis.
Well, Clay Travis is better at it. Clay Travis knows what buttons to push.
He gets people riled up.
Yeah, and Gottlieb, I think, is just a guy who's out there trying to get attention. He's... closer to Max Kellerman than he is to that. So I don't feel bad for him at all. But because I just don't think he knows what he's doing when it comes to trying to trying to be that voice and that guy. And because that, all that, first off, the entire apology is bull bleep. We know that. And he was trying to focus on things that would rile people up. And it was just dumb. It was the wrong time to do it.
Yep.
And, you know, oh well. But, yeah, the key to being Clay Travis or any of those guys.
A high-level troll.
Yeah. I mean, basically, you have to pick a topic that you know people are going to get stupid about. Like, apparently now it's masks. And then have a strong take on it that you can tie to a right-wing mentality. That's it. I honestly would be great at this. I think I should do it. But or you do the other side, you know, or you make and it's just there's ways to do it. Basically, Rush Limbaugh gave you a playbook. Why you can't just follow that, I don't know. And Doug's just not good at it. That's the problem. Because whenever his name comes up in a story like this, it's like, can you believe what he said about this? Like, what the hell was he doing here? But, oh well, I think that's a, I think you could do a better job of doing of that than Gottlieb does.
Well, I don't know if I could do that, but I mean, you can, someone can do a better job than Doug Gottlieb, certainly.
Yeah.
Did you see what, and this is another one of those moves, sort of a troll move. You know who's doing the trolling now? The Carolina Panthers. The Panthers, they posted one. You've seen these things where they post, like, I guess it's a new trend on Twitter, is they'll post three pictures and they'll say, comment for this person, retweet for this, heart for this. The Panthers said, choose your goat. Comment for Julius Peppers, retweet for Steve Smith Jr., heart for Luke Kuechly. They basically just pretend like Cam Newton was never a part of their organization, despite the fact that he won an MVP and took their team to a Super Bowl. That seems odd.
It does seem odd. Well, didn't Julius Peppers finish his career elsewhere too?
Did he?
I thought he did.
Where'd he end up?
I thought he wound up. I thought he wound up with the Bears.
You might be. Yeah, I think you are right. Yeah, the Bears does sound right.
Yeah, Cam Newton is. I mean, theoretically,
he went hasn't back moved to on. Carolina. He went to the Bears in 2010 until 2013, 2014 and 15. In 16, he was in Green Bay. Then he went to Carolina 17, 18.
Okay, so he was gone for a big chunk of that. So you're going to put him in there over Cam Newton?
Well, I don't know. It just seems odd to leave that guy off your list, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the only one of those guys who won an MVP. Well, yep. Hey, Steven wants to talk about masks on airplanes. Hello, Steven. Sports to you.
Sports guys. Hey, I've been listening to you guys, and I've been listening more and more as time goes on, but to get to the point, y'all were talking about this guy on the airplane that didn't want to wear the mask, and one of you made a comment that, you know, it's a business, and if it's a business and they tell you to wear the mask, then wear the mask. And I'm all for wearing the mask. I do it at work. I do it outside of work. But if that's a business, isn't the NFL a business also?
Well, yeah.
Okay, if NFL is a business and this guy decided not to wear a mask, then why does Kaepernick not have to stand if they ask him to stand for the national anthem or the pledge?
Because they're not going to ask him to do that.
They don't ask people to stand for the national anthem?
No. No. Okay. And here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. Standing for the national anthem, it plays no part in public health or safety. That's like apples to pineapple.
Cockroaches.
That's way.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's just a pretty That's a pretty big reach to try
an apt comparison would be if the NFL said, we're playing the national anthem and we need you to stand up and honor America while we play the national anthem, and somebody in the front row stayed seated. Maybe it was a great big fat person. Maybe it was just a lazy person. Maybe this person was even on his cell phone. And while that would be, it wouldn't be illegal per se, it would be bad form, but he decided, I'm going to take a cell phone call during the national anthem. Would that NFL team say, sir, either stand up or we're going to kick you out of our stadium? I don't think they would do that. I don't think an NFL team would do that.
Well, if they could make that a policy if they wanted to. So
but
if you want to come
they would
our...
never make that a policy is what I'm saying.
No. No, but they certainly could, and then, you know,
oh, yeah,
you have
kick
to make
people out
yeah,
for a
they
lot
have
of
the
stuff.
Right to. They just wouldn't do it.
They wouldn't do it.
Yeah. And people get kicked out of sporting events all the time for things. It's like if you're going to come to someone's house, you play by their rules.
It's just like you can't smoke on an airplane.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. That's Sorry. The rule.
Yeah.
And now that eventually became a law, and it is now a law, but there was a time, and Fred, I'm sure you were alive at a time where it wasn't illegal to smoke on planes. It was just they would ask you not to.
I don't think I ever flew that far back.
Okay, because here, I remember being on Southwest Airlines when I was a kid. We would fly from Houston to Dallas because we used to fly up to watch Nolan pitch regularly when he was a Ranger. And like now where you've got the television controls on your armrest, at the end of the armrest used to be an ashtray.
Yeah.
So
that, I remember flying on planes with that. But I think they'd already kind of banned it by the time, because I didn't fly until I was about 20 years old.
Oh, okay. Well, it certainly existed at some point.
You could legally do it on airplanes until February 25th, 1990.
That's when
the government made it illegal.
Okay. But the airlines before that
had already said no.
Yeah.
But the FAA said it was completely legal until 1990.
Well, and just to put a wrap on his point, that's one of those, let's try to turn something into an issue that has nothing to do with something else, which is also very common in our society these days. It's like, well, this person said this, so does it make it okay for this person to say that? But that was a pretty good stretch. So you almost pulled it off. But Lamont says, basically a business asks you to come in the store with the shoes and a shirt on. But it's silly because I have the right to just say bye. I won't spend my money here. Absolutely. They have the right to tell you what you can do. And you have the right to say, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to fly on American. Now, good luck finding any airline right now where you can fly.
Yeah, they're all going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
Drive.
Yeah. You could drive your car and not wear your mask. That's where your choice comes in. If you don't want to do it.
I still think it's weird when people wear their masks while they drive. That's the weirdest to me.
Yeah, I think that's... I mean, every now and then, like, I'll forget to take it off, and then I'll get about halfway home. Of course, I'm only driving 5 minutes.
It's like wearing a mask in your house.
Yeah. But I might forget to take it off, and then I get about halfway home, and like, oh, you don't need this
anymore.
I don't.
As soon as I get to my car, I'm like, oh, yeah, out of this mask. I need that air conditioning on my face.
Well, is there music being played?
No, because I'm going to tell you about TGS Insurance. Guys, if you own your home and you could use a few extra bucks, and let's face it, if you own your home, you could always use a few extra bucks. TGS and Lanny Hayes, they've got a system built that could do just that. I know because I saved over $1,000 on my homeowner's insurance through TGS, and all it took was a text message. They've got a system that's already shopped all the insurance prices for every home in our area. They know what you can be saving, and it's time for you to start putting that money in your pocket. Just grab your phone and text the word money to 232323. They're going to ask for your address. You reply back with that. They're going to send you a full quote and proposal with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. It's as simple as that. You're not locked into anything. You're going to look at it, and if it's better than what you're paying now, great. If it's not, what have you lost? 15 seconds. Big deal. They're open now. Text the word money to 232323. Start saving today with my friends over at TGS Insurance.
Me and Dollar was serving on Spawn Street. Holler G, he gon' stay with the chopstick. I got raw, that shit made me a monster. He bitch, she noticed my...
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And before we get to deaths, I just one thing on the mask deal, there's a coffee shop that we've been going to. And if you have a mask, you come in and get your coffee. If you don't, you have to wait outside, text your order, and then they'll bring it to you. So there's a way to compromise on this. You know, it's just, but they don't want you in there without one. But they'll still sell you the coffee. You just have to, you know, wait outside and text your order. So again, there's ways to make this work, people. There are just little common sense here and there. All right, let's do famous deaths. These are celebrities who died between June 11th and 17th. In any given year, not just this week. And we start with 2015. American professional wrestler Dusty Rhodes, dead at 69. That's a good run.
Absolutely, it's a good run.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Stephen First, who was Flounder in Animal House. Shocker, died from diabetes complications at 63. Let's see. Chuck Noll, 2014. Natural causes at 82. That's a good run.
Yeah, that's natural.
Tony Gwynn in 2014. Dead at 54. Not a good run. John Matuszak, 1989. 38 years old. He was in North Dallas 40. Also a football player. Also the Goonies. Forgot he was in the Goonies. And John David Crow, Heisman Trophy winner from Texas A&M. Dead at 79 in 2015. His nephew, I played with his nephew in high school, who unfortunately also passed away.
Name drop.
His nephew was David Crow, who played tight end at A&M. Hit the golf ball farther than any human being I've ever played with.
All right.
1801, Benedict Arnold died of delirium in London at the age of 60. Do people still die of delirium?
One can only hope.
Because I would say 90% of our population would be gone. James Knox Polk, your 11th U.S. president, dies in Nashville, Tennessee at the age of 53 in 1849. Boy, these are some crappy deaths. Let's see, does it get any better? Oh, well, here's a couple pretty good ones. 1994, you might remember these. Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman.
I do remember them.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the best deaths, because hopefully these will be better. John Wayne, 1979, dead of stomach cancer at 72.
I just watched the Bruce Lee documentary last night, and he was talking about how... Have you seen it?
I watched it, but I was passing out from being drunk, so I got to watch it again.
Well, they talked about how basically Asians couldn't play Asian roles in movies. They would have white people play Asian roles. And it showed John Wayne playing Genghis Khan, which to me is still hilarious to this day.
Well, that's still been a problem in Hollywood. That it's just now starting to change a little bit. 2001, Timothy McVeigh, American terrorist, was executed.
Well,
good riddance.
Bye.
Yeah. 2012, Henry Hill Jr., who inspired the movie Goodfellas.
Hank Hill?
Not Hank Hill. Henry
Thank
Hill.
God. I thought that was like breaking news.
Yeah. No, he was a rat, though.
Yeah.
He died.
Not Hank
died
Hill.
At the age of... No. Hank Hill's solid.
Yeah.
He's a good Hank old Hill's boy. He's a stand-up guy. That Henry Hill, he's a rat. 2014, Casey Kasem. Dead of dementia at 82.
Dementia is similar to delirium, right?
I guess. Because he had dementia, did he forget to breathe? Is that what happened?
Fred, come
what,
on.
Insensitive? Fine.
Terrible.
1977, Werner von Braun, former Nazi-turned-American rocket scientist, dead at 65 of pancreatic cancer.
So he got to be former Nazi turned American rocket scientist. He switched teams.
Well, yeah, that was one of the things. That's what helped us get into space was all these German scientists that they brought over.
He was part of Operation Paperclip, where they went and grabbed a whole bunch of scientists and said, you can either die as a Nazi or you can become American and help us. And they went, you know what? I'll help you.
Smart move. Smart move.
Yeah, that's how we got into space.
He was a bad dude, too.
Hey, but didn't he make up for it by creating rockets? Yeah, just... We talk about the past. You have to judge people differently, Aaron. Rodney King, 2012, died in an accidental drowning at the age of 47. And that's a name that's come up a lot this past couple weeks because that was, there were a lot of riots in L.A. over that. And that's one of the really bad times that this was the closest thing I've seen to that. All right, here's your porn stars. 2010, Amy Jordan, dead at 19 of...
I'm going to go suicide.
Suspected drug overdose.
Maybe, but maybe that was purposeful.
Maybe it was an intentional drug overdose, which would make it... Okay, I'll give you a point for that. Candy Estefana, 26 years old.
I'm going to go murdered by a pimp.
Close enough. Strangled by her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah, who probably was a pimp, so therefore you get another point. You're 2 for 2. June 16th, 1990, Megan Lee, 26 years old, died from?
26? I'm going to go car crash.
Suicide by self-inflicted gunshot wound. And finally, you were on your way to a perfect game, man. You just gave up a triple off the wall. June 17th, 2020, Laura Cannon, 63 years old, dies from?
Cancer.
Says cause of death unknown, so it could very well be cancer, so you're 3 for 4.
There you go. No, I just held that runner at third.
Yeah, well.
Clean inning, bro.
There you go. And that is your deaths.
All right, Fred, we're going to end it on that note, and I'm going to tell you about a late health. And I met Dr. Andrew Doe out there, and this is my kind of guy. This is an Army vet, but he is the first guy in Houston to do a procedure called PAE. So if you have BPH, enlarged prostate, you may just not even know you've got it. You may be urinating more frequently. You may be having to get up at night to pee. You may have difficulty starting to pee. Well, if you've been diagnosed with enlarged prostate and it's non-cancerous, you don't need surgery. And trust me, I saw what these surgeries entail. It's not fun. He's got this PAE procedure that's minimally invasive, uses X-ray technology to treat your prostate, and you're just in and out in a few hours, just right there at the office. It's outpatient. It's easy peasy. There you go. Nobody in Houston's done as many PAE procedures as Dr. Doe. He is the guy you want, and it's covered by most insurance plans. Learn about it today, 832-860-4618. That's 832-860-4618, and check them out online. ChoosePAE.com. That's ChoosePAE.com.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.